Something wrong with this mic. Hey, look, this might have been my fault. I'll take the blame. Last service, a little bit dead. We ain't going to be dead in here today. We're going to have fun. We're in the house of the Lord, and we're going to have fun. So if you know how to floss, you're going to fix the floss. And if you don't, I'm going to show you real quick, and we're going to go on with what we're supposed to do. You ready? Look, it's simple. You ready? One. There ain't nobody doing it. Bones, come on. Ready? One, two, three, and then you got to go. Let's go. Y'all sit down in the house of the Lord. Real quick, y'all can thank Jennifer for that, because Jennifer said, you know what, we already have a Cody. You know what, we already have this golfer. We already have this guy. We just need a Cole. That's stupid Cole right there. Hey, congratulations to my parents down here. 41 years of marriage today. Probably because they had a good son. Oh! So, we're leaving our old series, Moments. We're coming in to a new series. I hope, did y'all enjoy Moments? All right, well, let's let Cody know, even though he doesn't need to know. We appreciate his vision, we appreciate his prayer, we appreciate his sacrifice for that awesome Moments series. So we're going to change it up today. This is a simple one, but it's an important one. It's going to be a lot of scripture. It's going to be a lot of reading. It is what it is. It's a long thing, but we're going to get through it. And the title of the new series for this month is prayer. Shout prayer. Y'all are doing a lot better than first service. Let's go. So speaking of prayer, let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this message, God, and thank you for all the people that are represented here today. But Lord, I pray that your word would come alive. I pray that my mouth would speak what you want it to speak, and I pray that everything that you want said would be said, and I pray that it would meet the people of Bethel right where they sit and right where they are in their homes and in their daily lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So prayer, at its core, what is it? It's a means of a relationship and communication, not just requesting things, but aligning one's heart with God's will and God's presence. So each Sunday, we have about two services. We have two services every Sunday, and we average about 650 to 700 people each weekend. That's something that we could be excited about, too. But anyways, would you agree with me that out of 650 or 700 people, there's probably a lot of different prayer lives. There's probably a different prayer life that you have than what I have, or maybe some don't have any at all, or maybe some have strong ones, weak ones, whatever. But we're going to go through some that I've thought about, that I've prayed about and asked the Lord about. And as we go through these, I just want you to sit where you are, and I want you to see which one applies to you, which one goes in your life, and which one fits you. So the very first one, for some of us, we pray and we get up first thing in the morning, early. Shout early. Some of us get up early, and if that's you, baby, let me just tell you, Jesus loves you, because in this way, you're a lot like Jesus. Mark 1:35, slowing down, Jennifer. She says I read scripture too fast. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Look, if it was important to Jesus to get his butt up early before the world got going and before the things started coming at him, it should be important to you and I to get our butts up early and go and be with our Father and fall on our knees and pray and talk to the Lord before our day gets going. Then, number two, there's some of us that just get up in the nick of time. Cody talked about you people last week. Man, you just snooze. You're Mr. Snooze. You're Mrs. Snooze. You're just hitting the snooze. And then finally you're like, I got to get up. I got to go. And then you're running here and you're running there and you're behind and you're wore out and you're tired and you're stressed. And you're like Cody was talking about, you're driving with one knee, putting your mascara on. That's you, man. You're just behind from the get-go into that person. I feel like God's saying, hey, look, I just wish she would get up a little earlier. I wish she would just give a little bit of her first day to me, a little bit of her time to me, her first fruits to me, because I've got peace that I want to give her. I hate to see her and him. Sorry, I'm going on the women, but on the men. Hey, I just hate to see my son down there just so stressed out, so strung out, so tired, just running here and running there, and he wants to give us peace the rest of the day, but it's hard for him to work in our lives, to work throughout our work day, to work throughout our parent day or a stay-at-home mom or whatever. It's hard for him to work if we don't start the day with him. Number three, some of us, we wait till we go to bed. Some of us run and gun and give God our leftovers. We go all day and we just smash, and we seek the dollar and we chase our kids and we do all these things. And we have to do those things, and those things are a part of our life. But there's no relationship in it if we come home at night and realize when we lay down in bed, when we finally get still and decide, I need to pray. Because sometimes we'll be praying at night and we'd be so tired and wore out, you just fall asleep in your prayer. And then you just send up a little Lord prayer, a little soft prayer, and then next thing you know, there's no relationship in it. There's no relationship in this type of prayer life. This is saying, I know that I need God, because you're convicted that you need to pray when you go to bed. I need God, but I don't want to sacrifice for God. Man, relationship building, it takes time, it takes work, it takes sacrifices. When I think of sacrifice and when I think of a relationship, you know, people can see your relationship. When I think of relationship, I think of Cody and Clara. Man, they spend a lot of time together. They spend a lot of time ranching together. They spend a lot of time studying the Word of God in the mornings together. They're always together, and she has to sacrifice fiddle things. He has to sacrifice whatever he's got going on. Like, there's sacrifice, there's time there, and when you see those two together, you can tell that there's been something sacrificed and there's been time spent in it, and that that's a good relationship. You can tell they're tight. So I would ask you, when people see you walking at your job, when people see you at the grocery store, when people see you going throughout your day, can they tell that you and God are tight? When they see your Facebook post, do they think, that's some bucks close to the Lord? What do they see? Number four, then, some of us are 1 Thessalonians 5:17 people. Paul says, pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Some of us pray when we catch our horse in the dark. Some of us pray when I'm, like me, I like to pray when I'm doing laundry. You know, I'm in there. I don't do the laundry. But some of you women need to be praying when you're doing the laundry. When you're driving, when I'm driving, I just bust out in prayer. I told y'all the other day, man, I'll just be praying. And before I'm done praying, Hayes is amen. And I'm like, hey, fool, I ain't done praying. He thought it was good enough. Like, just pray all the time. And these are people, they're always happy and they're always wanting to hug you and they're always ready to see you. It's like David Hager people. That's somebody that ain't never in a bad mood and he's always winning. It looks like he's just winning the day when I see David Hager. And also these people are these last two people we talked about, hate. Get away from me. You getting up on time, son, buck. I'm tired of you showing up to work excited about work. Well, that's because they got up and spent time with God. It's because they're already winning the day. Stop. You know, we can't do anything. We have to start talking to the Lord. We got to go. And they've got to spend time and wake up with the Lord. There's also those who don't pray at all. It's sad but true. But this is what I was thinking about and praying about, man. Some people just don't pray at all. Some people only pray when we come up here to church. And I would say to those people, God's wanting to build a relationship with you, but he's waiting on you to make a move. And sometimes people are like, well, you know what? If he's God, he should make a move. If he's God, he ought to make a move. He ought to do something in my life. I've been praying for that. Well, I would say to you, what about Jesus? What about the borrowed womb? What about the miracle of a man coming from a virgin? What about him losing his life for you and for I? What about your spouse? What about you? What about you being created in his image? What about me? And my children that he's blessed me with? What about my kids that he's given me and gifted me and trusted me with? What about the breath in our lungs, the taste buds on our tongue? What about all these things? I feel like God has already made a move in our lives, but he's waiting on us to go meet him. Then there's some of you who only pray, and some of us that only pray when we need God. I've been there before in my life. When we have sin in our life, when we're wore out from what we've been doing wrong, when we know better, when our mothers raised us better, but we're living like this, and we pray. When there's sickness in our family, when we're sick, when we're down, or when maybe there's death in your family, then we go to praying. But then we wonder why these prayers don't get answered, and we wonder why these things don't start happening, because we're not living for the Lord, because we only need God when we need God. We only want to pray to God and talk to God when we need God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and it says ask and you will receive, but to do those things, you have to be living for God. We got to be waking up and giving our first fruits to God. We got to be paying attention with our walk with God. So, as Bethel people, I've been praying over this sermon. I've been praying over y'all. I've been praying over this series. I've been praying over myself. And I've just been praying that we would grow and that we would become more aware of the gift of prayer. This is a huge gift from God. We have many gifts from God, but this prayer life is a gift from God. It's how we get to speak to him. It's how we get to hear from him. It's how we get to receive from him. It's an awesome gift. We ought to be taking full advantage of it. We ought to be taking full advantage of this opportunity. I don't think that we're bad people. I don't think that we think prayer isn't important. I don't think that we hate prayer, and I don't even think that we don't think prayer doesn't work. But what I do think, for most of us, hear that, for most of us. Some of you praying, son of a guns, don't get your panties in a wad right here. I said for most of us, prayer is not top priority. Prayer is not top priority in your life and in my life. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the job. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the fame. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the name, and we forget all about prayer. All of a sudden, we come from this man who created us in his image, but we don't even speak to him. So what do we hold top priority? Well, we make it a top priority to get up and go to work. We make it top priority to get our kids to school. We make top priority to go to the football game and go to the rodeo, but we don't ever make sure that we pray to our Father in heaven. And I'm not talking about just being at work and just being like, oh, God, please give me the strength to get to 5 o'clock. Lord, help me pass this test in school. No, I'm talking about getting by yourself and getting somewhere serious and getting alone and getting on your knees and getting where no one sees you praying, where no one is there with you other than the Lord. Just getting by yourself and really pouring your heart out to the Lord. And this, as we go through this series, we're going to learn and read some scripture and some stories about people who were just like we get in times in our life where they're beat down and wore down, and the only thing they can do is pray. And when they pray, things start happening. This is the prayer that we're talking about. I'm talking about serious prayer to our Father in heaven. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We have to sacrifice time. We have to sacrifice some sleep. We need to sacrifice some food. Some of us need to fast. If we ain't seen nothing changing, let's fast. Let's see what the Lord will do. Let's believe in it. We gotta sacrifice some self-pleasure. We gotta quit going to some rodeos on the weekends. If we can't, whatever that looks like in your life, sacrifice something and just say, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna drop to my knees and pray. And when we start praying, we need to be praying in Jesus' name. Why? Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, he's our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And also, he tells us to do so in 1 John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If I'm at the indoor rodeo, and it's really, really loud, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and they got the bronc riding going on, and they got all this stuff going on, and I'm zoned in on the saddle bronc riding, and I've got my family, I've got my stuff, people are getting drinks, people are sitting down, people are going, and then they have thunder rah, 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 in the background, and it's just chaos. If I hear those things and then I hear Hayes Hatfield, no matter what's going on around me and no matter what my eyes and ears are hearing, I'm going to stop and I'm gonna pay attention. Why? Because that's my son's name. Because it holds some weight for me. Because I have a relationship with him. Because I have time invested with him. Because he means something to me. Because I am his dad. I pay attention. And it's the same way in life when you're going through your divorce, or when you're going through where you can't pay the bills, or you're going through a sickness, or you're going through hell on earth, whatever it is. When you get down on your knees and you get away from the world and you get by yourself and you start praying in Jesus' name, God turns his head and becomes attentive to the prayer. And things begin to happen on the other side. Prayer does things. First thing it does, it makes you practice your faith. It makes you and I practice our faith. Faith. Shout faith. That your prayers are being heard. How many of you know it's hard to pray for a long time and not see nothing coming from it? I just think about our marriage. Y'all know our story, but that year, I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I remember through about the middle of the year, I remember days where I would just cry and be sad. And I would just think, gosh, nothing's happening. The Lord ain't working. Nothing's changing. But then see, I just dug in and I did Romans 12:2, and I renewed my mind. And then the rest of the year goes by, and then I hear from the Lord and he says, look, I've been preparing you this year so that today you'll make the right decision, go get your wife, and I'll use you as a unit of Christ. Maybe he ain't answering your prayers because maybe he's trying to prepare you for what he's going to do through you so the world can see what's going on. So don't get weak in the waiting. Let it build your faith. Prayer. Shout prayer. Prayer. Build a relationship with our Father. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. This is an image of Jesus wanting fellowship. This is an image of Jesus desiring a relationship with you and not just a religion. Not just saying, yes, I believe in God. Yes, we go to church at Bethel. Yes, we go. No, how many of you know when you start a relationship, things got to change? When I started dating Marley, I had to change. I had to change. When I gave my life to the Lord in the middle of that pasture for the real first time in February of 22, I had to change. I had to decide that God didn't just make it easy. I had to wake up early, read my word, and decide, I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. If you don't talk to someone, you can't build a relationship. I didn't just get Marley that day at Fuzzy's Taco Shop in Steenville, Texas, because I had a big nose and a nice mullet. I promise you, I had to spit some game. And it worked. We're coming up on 10 years. Prayer. Shout prayer. Is our way to communicate how thankful we are for what God has done in our lives. Simply, this is kind of my prayer almost every day. Thank you, Lord, for our renewed marriage. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you, God, for their health. Thank you, Lord, for my mom and dad. Thank you, God, for Cody and Jennifer raising us up, teaching us and holding us through this thing, taking us under their wing. And God, just thank you for Bethel and just simply thanking God. Just thanking God. I look out here and I see Tate Irons, big tough guy, beat your butt up one day back in the old days. I know. I promise. One punch. But when them little girls come to that big tough sucker and say, thank you, Daddy, he wants to do it again, right? It feels good. It feels good when Hayes comes to me and says, thanks, Dad. Thanks. And it's the same way with our Father in heaven. He wants you to come and humble ourselves and just say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. It makes us want to do it again for our children. So don't you think it would make him want to do it again for us? Yeah. Just thanking God. Prayer also is a way for you and I to fall at our knees and say sorry. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry I messed up. I'm sorry I went too far. I'm sorry I stayed the night. I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I'm sorry I got drunk. I'm sorry I did these things. I'm sorry, Lord, for all this stuff. It's a place to be able to go and to repent so that we can get back on a new track with God, with our walk with God. It's so that we can get away from that sin and then step over here and start a new walk with God. Just continue to keep our walk going with God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess with our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to say this to the kids and the adults, but you kids, listen. This is not a free pass to go make the wrong decisions because all of your friends are doing it. This is not a free pass for you to go sin. This is not a free pass to go do what the other children are doing in your lives and at your school. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So there's no excuses. There's no excuses for us. Man, before the party gets kicked off, find the truck that's leaving, kids. Find the truck that's leaving. Get back to your parents. When you feel like you shouldn't stay the night there, you need to get back to your parents. Do what you know you need to do. Go in the discernment. Find the escape route because the Word of God says he's going to provide it and no temptation can overcome you. Prayer, shout prayer. Prayer. Y'all are getting dead. It's for the healing to begin. He's our healer. Exodus 15:26, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. But look, we got to be living right. We got to be living right in the eyes of God. We got to wake up and we got to realize and say, like I did in that little office at that ranch at Cowan's, I'm going to change. I'm going to live right in the eyes of God. God can't bless me if I'm still living like old Cole. God can't work in my life if I'm not praying. God can't work in my life if I'm not believing my prayers. God can't work in my life if I'm not living right in his eyes. One of God's names in Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha, which means Lord who heals. He heals physically, he heals emotionally, he heals mentally and spiritually. All these things that he can heal. James 5:14-15. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, shout faith, will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. This shows the role of community. This shows the role of our church. This shows the role of having faith. And can I just say this right here? You can call Cody and he can come pray for you and all these things, or you can call me and I can come pray for you or whatever. But if you believe in Christ and you've been born again and you've came down here and been baptized and believe that he came, died, and rose again, the same power that rose him up is the same power that's in you. You can lay hands on your wife and you can pray over her, and things can happen through the powers of your prayer as well. Pray. Ooh, this next one I'm very thankful for. Prayer. Shout prayer.
Prayer.
That's what I'm talking about. It's in the deliverance. It's how we ask for wisdom. I need some wisdom. Some of you need some wisdom. God promises he'll give it generously. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Man, he guides us through wisdom. He guides us through prayer, but we got to be wise. We got to walk with the wise and not with the fools. We got to be asking for wisdom so that we can be all that we can be in the kingdom of God. Prayer. How many of you in here struggle with anxiety? Marley, raise your hand. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by the prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, not the peace of the world, not the peace of your friend's words, not the peace of your spouse's words, not the peace of my words or Cody's words like he was talking about earlier, Connor's, but the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. We don't understand it. Will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So stop it. Knock it off. Stop letting it win. Stop letting it wear you out. Stop letting it take over your life. Stop letting it steal your joy and just give it to God and then leave it there and go on with your life. Prayer will lead you to peace and clarity. Don't stop praying. Prayer is how we ask for protection. How many of you know in the world we're living in, we need protection? We need protection over these kiddos. We need protection over us in these cars. We need protection. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He's going to guard us from the snares of the enemy. He's going to guard us from the things that we can't see, the things that we're fighting. Somebody shout prayer.
Prayer.
Somebody shout Connor.
Connor.
Come up here so we can finish this thing off. Prayer, man, I need to get better at it. You need to get better at it. We all need to get better at it, and we need to be better at it together. It's pretty simple. The first thing that we need to do, we need to just make prayer top priority. It would change the whole thing. It would change everything. And look, I'm just going to say this too. I said at first service, I didn't feel like they really liked it, but you know, it's just the truth, and that's the way it is. If you don't want to make top priority in your life, prayer, and you're going to keep putting everything else in your life above prayer, don't expect nothing in your life to change. Don't expect nothing to change. Something's got to change. Nothing changes unless something changes. We're just cheating ourselves if we're not using the gift of prayer. But let me say this. If you're willing to pray, if you're willing to put prayer before everything else, before my job, before my spouse, before my kids, before my whatever you fill in the blank, you better get ready for some changes in your life. Because he says he's got plans to prosper you, not plans to harm you. Sometimes we think we got to do these big things. Sometimes we need to fast like Jesus for 40 days. Sometimes we think we got to do all this huge stuff. But really, I feel like a lot of times God's looking at me saying, Cole, if you just slow down and pray. I mean, just pray. Isn't that a lot better than killing ourselves and losing sleep and having anxiety and having worry and all this stuff and trying to do this and trying to do that? It's a little bit easier just to pray. Just to believe in prayer. What you say, he already knows everything I'd say. He already knows everything I'd pray for. And I'd say, yeah, you're right. But the Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. He'll heal your land. He'll heal your mind. He'll heal your heart. He'll heal your everything you got going on, your body, your marriage, whatever. But we just got to come to him humbly with some prayer. I remember a time in our thing too, mine and Marley's deal, like a guy told me, hey, stop trying to fix it. You're not God. He said, just pray. Pray. Pray for her and pray for you and pray that God would work. It was a lot simpler. It was weight off my shoulders, and you know what? God worked. Enemy, God worked. But he wants us to humbly come to the altar. He wants to see your action. He wants to see what you'll do for him. He wants to see if you're going to stay committed. He wants to see if you mean it. It's, you know, if Hayes is good one day out of the week, I'm not going to give Hayes everything Hayes wants. But you know what? If he's obedient to me and if he's sitting there trying to please me and trying to be all that I've asked him to be, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to give him what he wants. I'm going to give him what he needs. It's the same way with our walk with God. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to lead you to new places. All we got to do is pray. I'm going to finish with this, and I want y'all to write it down and take it home and read it this week. Learn it, tattoo it, whatever. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What's the second word? When. It says when you pray. It doesn't say if you feel like praying. It doesn't say if you have time to pray. It doesn't say if you feel like you should pray. It says when you pray. If we're going to follow Christ and if we're going to be disciples and we're going to push the gospel and we're going to try to bring people closer to the Lord, we got to pray. It's not an option. We need to pray. So that being said, I'm going to open these altars. They used to do this a lot. I remember when I would come over here in high school and in the other church as well. Man, the altar calls changed things and the altar calls stirred up stuff. But I just want to say, last week, Cody talked about the covering of God's presence in here, about being able to come in here and being covered by God's presence. He talked about how cool that is, that we get to come to a place and do that. And we want this place to be safe. And we want this place to feel good to people. We want this place when they come in broken or hurt or wore down or in a bad way in their marriage or in a bad way in their health or lost a loved one or whatever your people are dealing with, we always deal with things. We want this place to be where they want to come. We want that to feel good when they come here, and we want them to grow closer to the Lord and build a relationship with the Lord and hear the Word of God preached and good worship and all these things. But I just want to ask you, how many times... I'm one of them, I know. Have you came into this place, and when Cody's had an altar call, or when Cody's asked everybody to walk by here for him to pray over them like he's done before in the past, how many times has the person next to you or the person around you or someone that you know goes to church here kept you from getting your butt up and coming up here and receiving something from the Lord? How many times? That's been me before, I know. So today, man, we're here to get better. We're here to grow. We're here to grow closer to God. So as we open these altars and lay down these lights, I'm going to go back across the bottom line. And if any of this comes across to you in your life and you feel like the Lord's pushing you to do better and you feel like the Lord wants you to change and you feel like your prayer life maybe isn't good or whatever, I call out. If that's you, come to these altars. No matter what anybody thinks, it's not about them, and it ain't going to matter when we're standing in Jesus Christ what your neighbor thought of you. Come up here, pray out loud, pray in your heart, pray however you want. But the altars are open. As I call them out, you just come as you feel. If you don't have a prayer life in your life right now and you realize that you need one, just come down here and start today. It's still morning time. Start today. If you're the one that struggles with giving Him your first fruit, your first part of your day, if you're always running and gunning, you're stressed, wore out, behind all day, still morning time, come break the cycle. Come break the cycle. Say, Lord, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm changing. I'm gonna see what you do if I give you my first fruits. If you're the leftover prayer man or woman, come up here and lay it down. Lay it down. Say, Lord, I'm gonna give you everything I got. I'm gonna give it to you in the morning and not at the end of the day. If your faith is weak, if you're going through a struggle right now and you think that you can't take what you got going on, come down here and ask God, Lord, fill me with some fire. Fill me with some faith. God, I can't do this without you, so just give me the faith that I need to get through it. Lord, I've been praying, I've been asking, I've been seeking, but Lord, I need faith to know that you're listening. If your relationship with God is weak, come strengthen it today by not caring about what your peers think. Show God, I don't care what the people think of me. I'm going to come today, God, because of you, not because of them. Come strengthen your relationship. Man, if you're thankful for everything God's done in your life and saved you from and fixed your marriage or whatever He's done in your kids' life, your life, family, health, come down here and show Him how thankful you are today and just pray. Just thank God. If you're like me for a long time and you're living in sin and you're living in dark and it's wearing you out and you feel like you can't get away from it, you can't change your friends and you can't change the places you go from Monday to Sunday, come up here and lay it down. Let today be the day that you're like, I ain't doing this crap no more. Lord, take it from me. Pray for strength to find those escape routes. Pray that verse over your life. Let God just show you those escape routes. Let maybe go back in your mind and see where they were, where you missed them. For the ones that are fighting anxiety and worry, has you wore out, has you beat down, has all of your joys gone, all of your stuff is taken away from you because you stay so worried and you stay wore out of the things that you can't physically tend to. Come lay it down. Give it to God. God will take this anxiety. He'll take this worry and He'll strengthen you and give you faith to walk with Him and not on your own strength. If you need healing today, if you need bodily healing, come down here and ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Knock and the door will be open. If your marriage is on the rocks, come down here and pray over your marriage. Bring your spouse down here and pray over her. Pray over him. Or come by yourself and pray over your marriage. Pray for new life in it. Pray for new dating in it. Pray for new things to happen in your life and in your marriage that you never could have seen. Speak the verse in Corinthians about no eye seen and no heart of man can imagine the things that he has prepared for you in your marriage. Believe the scripture over your life. Man, if you need healing just spiritually, physically, emotionally, come lay it down. Fill it up. If you need protection, come pray over your family. Bring your family down here and pray over your family. Men, lead your families. Men, pray over your families. You don't be the leader of your home. Want your wife to respect you, want your kids to respect you. Start by praying in your home. Pray. Be the one to pray. Be the one to lead the prayer. Be the one to say, I'm sorry. Be the one to say, I screwed up. Be the one to say, I'm weak. I'm weak-minded. I need help. Babe, I need you to pray for me. Just have them pray. Just pray. Pray for strength to lead your home. Pray for your family. So, God, you see your people down here. Lord, you know what they got going on. You know what's in their lives, and you know what we don't know, God. So I just pray that you would work in their lives. I pray if it's healing, that you'd heal them. I pray that if it's their marriage, that you'd change it. I pray, God, if it's their children, that their children would be received and you would just work in their life, Lord. I pray that you would just work in these obedient people who aren't worried about the people behind them, God, but they're worried about you and they're worried about their walk with you, Lord. God, for the ones that can't get up, I just pray this week that you would just wake us up. Lord, wake us up. Give us a new fire. Is sleep really that important in our lives, God? Help us to wake up. And when they decide that I'm going to wake up and I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, Lord, I pray that you would just ease their days. Let them see the power in praying first, giving you your first fruits. Let them see that, God, as they make this transition, as they make that change. Lord, to the ones that are the leftover givers, Lord, they may be last every day, but start making them first every day. God, give them strength to wake their butts up and believe that if I give my first time to you, God, before Facebook, before Instagram, before my wife, before my kids, as the leader of my home, or whatever that looks like in your life, the boss at my job, whatever is in your life, Lord, let them give that to you first, but then, God, on the other side of it, let them see the fruit of doing it. Let the old be new, Lord. If the faith is weak, if they're going through things in here that they can't stand, that they think they can't do by themselves, God, give them faith like they've never had before. Give them power that they've never had before. Give them strength to go through it and give them power to just believe that you're working where they can't see. And Lord, maybe don't get weak in the waiting, but they know that, just let them know you're going to work in the end. Build a relationship. I pray the relationship becomes first in their life, God, before their spouse, before their kids. I pray that you're first. Before their job, it's you. Lord, to the ones in here with just thankful hearts, the obedient ones, the ones that are living for you, that have walked through this life and changed their hearts, God, bless them. Let them know that you hear from them. Let them know that you love hearing thank you, Father. Lord, I ask for forgiveness in this place. The ones that need forgiveness, God, let them just see a vision of a whiteboard, God, full of crap. And then just a big eraser coming down it, Lord. And let them know, son, daughter, I have cleaned your slate. Start new right now. Start new tomorrow. Start new this week. Don't worry about your decisions. Don't worry about what you did. Know that I'm working in your life. Know that I've forgiven you. And Lord, the ones that struggle from Monday to Sunday and the people they hang out with and the things that they do, God, show them the escape routes. open their eyes, let them zoom out, let them be above the ones that are following the world, not better than, but Lord, let them know God's got a calling on their life, and that they need to do things a little bit different, that they need to be a little bit better, that they need to pay attention, that they need to hold more weight in your name and not the names of their friends and the names of their family or whoever God is holding them back from finding the escape route. Just show them the escape route. Lord, to the ones that are struggling with anxiety and worry, God, I just pray that you would just take it away from them, yank it from them, and send it to hell. Let them enjoy the joy of the Lord. Let them be in your presence. Let them see the goodness of their life. Let them see that it doesn't have to be hard, God, that they can just give things to you and that they don't have to worry about it, that they can't change it with their hands and they can't change it with their minds and they can't change it with how hard they work or how good they are to other people or how much money they give, God. But all they got to do is pray and give it to you so that they can walk free from it. Lord, for the marriages in this place, heal them. Lord, make these marriages in this house powerful units for the kingdom of God. Lord, let them, give them visions how to raise their kids up. Lord, give me and Marley a vision of how to raise our children on a daily basis to know the Word of God, to want the Word of God inside of them, to want a relationship with them from a young age, God, that maybe they want to make some decisions for you, Lord, and not for themselves. God, just help us and lead us as parents in this world. Heal the marriages, light the flames, let things change, make the husband get off his high horse and say, sorry, Lord. Let the wife back up a little bit. Whatever the issue, God, heal these marriages. Humble ourselves. Humble us, God. Humble us so that you can be working in our lives, so that people can see you working in our lives. Lord, I pray for protection over my family. I pray for protection over all the families in here. And God, I pray a hedge protection over this church, the perimeters of this church in Anson, and the perimeters of the church in Albany, and the one in Sweetwater, and the one in Stanford, God. I pray that you would just protect us as we try to push the gospel, as we try to raise men up to lead their families, as we try to point kids towards you, God. I just pray that you would just protect us. Lord, speak to us in this last song, and let us go be new. Lord, let us pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.